Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Hey, 406. McMoneyley with you on this Wednesday morning. Getting closer to Friday and the World Series. That's right. Dodgers, Yankees. Big time. Big series. Big cities. Big teams. Big stars. A lot going on. Looking forward to it. We spent a lot of time on it, the different matchups. Spent a little bit of time on the Knicks, too. We opened with the Knicks this morning. And just an ugly start to the season of what is supposed to be and what hopefully will still be. I mean, it's only one game. But will be a promising season, a season that Knicks fans headed into feeling, for the first time really in a long time, that they had a chance to win the championship. Last year, at times, you felt that way. Certainly in January, when after the Anunoby trade, they went on this unbelievable run. You felt like maybe they were contenders to win a championship. But heading into the year, this is the first time we've really had that kind of expectation. And so to start the year in Boston against the defending NBA champions felt like a good litmus test and maybe an opportunity to make a statement to Boston. Say, hey, we're the team you're going to have to go get through if you want to get back to another NBA Finals. If you want to win your back-to-back championships, you got to go through us here in the East. And instead, the Boston Celtics came out and just absolutely trounced the New York Knicks to start this game, hitting everything in the first half. I mean, just raining down threes. I think they did break the record for most three-pointers in the first half. They ended up tying the record for most three-pointers in a game with 29. And really, that's the game started with nothing but made three-pointers from the Celtics and ended with nothing but missed three-pointers as the game didn't even matter anymore. And the Celtics were just trying to win some dopey record. On the night that they got their championship rings, they came out and just shot the ball all over the Knicks' face. And one, so a couple storylines from the game. One, as you heard Marco mention, Bridges comes out in his first game in a Knicks uniform and not only misses his first five or six shots, looks ugly doing it. The shots did not look right. He kind of had a little bit of a hitch at the top of it. They were ugly shots. He ended up turning it around and actually not having a terrible night from the field, better in the second half, but kind of some ugly shots to start the game. And then really just with the amount of three-pointers, yeah, you know, some nights you tip your cap, but this team is supposed to be really good, you know, with the perimeter defense. Like, they have arguably the best perimeter defender in the NBA in OG Anunoby. Bridges is a defensive guy as well, two-way player, and it's supposed to be a strength of the team, Josh Hart even, in many ways. And it seemed like, one, they got a lot of offensive rebounds off of the three-pointer to give them another opportunity. So offensive rebounding was weak in this game. Defensive rebounding was weak in this game. They allowed a lot of offensive rebounds to the Celtics. And then they just didn't fight through screens. They didn't make it tough on the Celtics. And once the Celtics started putting the ball in the basket, it felt like it became contagious. And they just ran the Knicks right out of the building. So it's one game. It's not anything. I, as also said in the update, I don't think there's anything to really worry about Bridges yet. I mean, he struggled for a while. If you look at his season last year with the Nets, he went through a stretch of, you know, 2 weeks or so where his offensive game really went, you know, south for a while. I mean, that's part of his game, I suppose. It's not anything out of one game that I'm overly concerned about. Again, he did hit some shots in the second half. And I do believe the perimeter defense will end up being a strength for this team. But ultimately, they had an opportunity to come make a statement in game one, get the season off on the right foot. And you understand that there's going to be some gelling that needs to happen, right? There's a brand new roster in many ways, starting five in many ways. They lose Randall. They lose DiVincenzo. They're bringing in two new players in Bridges and Towns. It's going to take some time to adjust, take some time to gel. The Celtics are obviously defending champs. They're bringing back a lot of the same guys. They were ready for this game. The Knicks weren't. Plain and simple. Plain and simple. The Knicks were not ready for this game, and they were run out of the gym opening night when they had an opportunity to get this season off to a good start and make a statement against the Boston Celtics. And instead, it was the Celtics who made a statement that they are the defending NBA champs and they are here meaning business. So that was an ugly game one for the New York Knicks, but an only game one, and nothing too overly concerning for me, at least coming out of that game. And you get to the World Series as well. The two football teams stink. The New York Yankees will take on the Los Angeles Dodgers, and I really think the matchup is going to come down to the bullpen. I think it's the most important matchup of this World Series. And to get the news that it sounds like Nestor Cortes is going to join this bullpen, I think is really important, because they really only have, I mean, I don't think they like to throw Meza, who is the second lefty in the bullpen in the ALCS. You throw him if you have to. Really, Tim Hill is the only lefty they really have faith in. And to add Nestor Cortes, who will not go multiple innings, he is not a long man, he is going to be a short left-handed reliever. Aaron Boone said as much on with John Boy in the Talking Yanks podcast. You know, maybe a little more than an inning or something, but not a legit, you know, come in for an embattled starter and give you three or four innings. That's not what you're going to get from Nestor Cortes. You're going to get short relief against probably Otani, who he's got big numbers against. And when you got him and Freeman, who's pretty much said he's going to play in this game, one at least, hobbled, but play. They've got Max Muncy. They've got some lefties in this lineup who scare you. To get through a long series with only Hill, and I know they have guys who can get out lefties. Canely in that changeup has some pretty good numbers against lefties, but you needed another lefty in this bullpen. And my only concern with Nestor is what kind of condition his arm is in, because he had a great quote to the media yesterday. And he pretty much said, look, I've talked to the doctors. I know what the ramifications are. I understand what I'm risking here. And if we win a championship and I have a ring, but it cost me a year of baseball, so be it. Like, that's what you want. That's what you're looking for. A little bit of, you know, hey, this is more important than anything else. I'll put my career on the line for this championship. And as much as I love to hear it, it scares me, because what kind of condition is his arm in if that's literally like, yeah, it's probably going to cost me a year, but I'll do it. I'm going to need Tommy John, but I'll go out there. Well, if you need Tommy John, what are you going to get from him? So we'll see, because not only they don't just need Nestor, they need an effective Nestor, throwing hard, having good stuff, actually out there dealing. So we'll see what they are. We'll see what he is. And we'll see what happens when this matchup finally gets going on Friday. We'll do a lot more. We'll do more breakups as the week goes along. I'll give you my prediction for the series. We got a lot more to do about the World Series. It should be a great one. Looking forward to all the talking points. And obviously one of them, unfortunately, is going to be the passing of Fernando Valenzuela, who passed away last evening at the age of 63. Obviously, Fernando Mania, 1981, ironically, the last time these two teams met in the World Series. He took the league by storm, won Rookie of the Year, won the Cy Young, and was just, you know, one of the Dodger, you know, stars and legends. And he was part of the Spanish broadcast. He did take some time away earlier this year from the broadcast to focus on his health. And unfortunately, he passed away last night. And it was someone I was expecting to be part of the festivities of this World Series, you know, harkening back to 81, the last time they played. They played so much, but it has been a long time since 1981. And I expected him to be there, and unfortunately he won't be. But I'm sure they're going to honor him, and he'll be part of this World Series in some way. So add that to the storylines of so many. I mean, there's even small ones that we forget about, like Verdugo. Like, Verdugo was part of the Mookie Betts trade. Verdugo was with the Dodgers organization. He's going back. You've got Stanton and how he plays here and loves to hit here. Judge and his numbers and the wall he ran into. You know, it's just, there's so many. The Yamamoto and the contentious battle in this offseason to sign him and the Dodgers winning out. Just the comparison between Soto's offseason and Ohtani's contract. Like, just so much that you can get into in this series. Never mind just Ohtani versus Judge, Soto, Betts, Cole, Yamamoto. Like, there's just so many stars in this series. It should be a great one. Looking forward to it. Eric and Ronkonkoma. What's up, Eric?
Hey, C-Mac. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Again, over the Mets lost the other day. You know, I tried to call in the other day, but it was pretty crazy with the you know, a lot of people getting through and all. And it's funny how you mentioned you're not going to pay attention to the Giants, because that's how I was pretty much with the Jets, you know, when the Mets were playing head-to-head with them.
That's not even disrespectful for the Giants. It's the freaking World Series.
No, it's not. It's you're into the baseball.
It's Yankees-Dodgers, man. I am a diehard Yankee fan. In the scheme of things, I don't think this game against Pittsburgh is very important. I think the season's dead anyway. I mean, this is the World Series.
Right. And you know what? Look, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I don't have a stake in anything with the World Series. But I mean, I'd be very surprised if it goes less than six at a minimum. I really would. I mean, just having obviously watched what the Dodgers did to the Mets, and then the Yankees are obviously what they are. I'd be very surprised if this goes less than six at a minimum.
Yeah, I mean, I
really don't even have a feel for the winner. At this point, I can see it being very even. So
no doubt. I think it's going to be a very good World Series. I think they're both uber talented teams. Obviously, I think the bullpens are so prevalent with both of these teams. They each have a full 4 or 5 days off to get the bullpen completely ready to go. I think the biggest matchup is that bullpen and how many innings they can get out of the starters. I think you could look at how effective the bullpen is and how many innings you got out of your starter as the two key numbers to dictate the winner of the series. Clearly, if someone goes off, right? If Stanton hits 5 home runs in the series, if Judge goes off, if Soto does what he does, or if Ohtani or Betts or one of them just go off, then that could dictate a series, no doubt. But I really think the bullpens, they go to the bullpen so quick, both of these teams have in this postseason. You're going to get bullpen games out of the Dodgers. Like, whoever gets, if Yamamoto gets knocked out in the fourth inning or they take him out in the fourth inning and Cole goes 7, I think that's going to set the Yankees up big time for the series. Like, I think game one is really important for the New York Yankees because, the Dodgers have won games a bunch of different ways, right? Yamamoto is important to them, but Yamamoto has missed time during the regular season. He hasn't pitched as, well in the postseason. They rely so much on their bullpen. They're going to have bullpen games. They've done it a bunch of different ways. Cole is so important to what the Yankees do, and he's such a key figure for them. He's their unquestioned ace. He has pitched in these big games before for them. Like, they need to win this pitching matchup of game one. And if they could steal game one in Dodger Stadium, now anything's up for grabs. But I think this is a real important game one for the New York Yankees. And even more than pitching great for Cole. Like, yeah, I want zeros. Don't get me wrong. I want zeros. But I think he's got to go 7. Like, if he goes 7 and gives up 3 or 4 runs, I'm not going to praise him for it, but it's bare. Like, I need that from him. I need a deep start from him. Because they can't just continue to go to this bullpen. You saw Cleveland have good at-bats. I mean, if Fry is going to give good at-bats seeing guys multiple times, if some of these guys, if Noel seeing guys twice, or like, imagine Ohtani and Betts. Like, you can't go through a deep series and constantly show these guys, constantly let them see that changeup from Canely, constantly let them see the changeup from Weaver, constantly let them see the sinker from Holmes. Like, you've got to hide these guys on some level, and you can't allow them to face these guys over and over again. So as much as, 4 runs won't make me happy with Cole, if you want to give up 4 runs and score and go 7 or 8 innings, I'll live with it. Because I think that's going to be very important to this series to limit the amount of times this bullpen is used. And I don't know how long Rodon is going to go. I don't think Clark Schmidt's going to go very long. I don't know if Luis Gil is going to go very long. Cole has got to be the guy who gives them innings. Sure, I want zeros. I need innings. Jimmy in Rockland. What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, C-Mac, listen, you touched on so many things while I've been on hold. You know I'm on this garbage truck working, man. So I just real quick.
Yeah.
I believe in karma, C-Mac, and after the Knicks got beat down last night like that, I've been saying it ever since they let Dante go. I think it would be so unfair if they went and won a title and that man never gets a ring. I really believe in karma, and I'm nervous for this season by the way they treated him and just let him go like that, C-Mac. Hey, I got to go. Thanks for the time, and I'll call you again. Thanks, C-Mac.
I see you. Honking the horn. Fliegelman just, I was thinking the same thing, and Fliegs just whispered in my ear. I mean, DiVincenzo was here 1 year. Julius Randle is literally the guy who turned this thing around. I mean, Julius Randle is the start of all this. Julius Randle is the guy who came here and transformed the team and made them the four seed and, you know, back into the postseason and brought some life back into this building and into this team. And he was jettisoned away from Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, I think the karma, if you're worried about such things, lies more with Randle than it does with DiVincenzo. And what exactly did they do to him? They traded him? This is the NFL. It's professional sports. They also sent him to Minnesota. It was a damn good team out west. It's not like they sent him to Siberia. Like, I know he's angry about it. And I understand that. He loved it here. He was playing with his buddies. You know, there were reports that he wasn't that happy with his role going to be diminished this year. I don't know. He downplayed that. I'm sure there's some truth to that. But whatever the case may be, they didn't do wrong by him. They brought him in. They allowed him to play. He had the best year of his career. And now they moved him. To bring in a super, they didn't trade him for nobody. They didn't jettison him. They didn't say, we're better off without you. They got Karl Anthony Towns. You could have your problems with Towns. You can have your worries and fears about Towns and his toughness and whatever else. He is a premier big man scorer in the NFL. NBA, excuse me. Sorry. I mean, he's literally, I mean, they didn't trade him for nothing. I don't know why the karma would be negative for the Knicks here with DiVincenzo. He could be pissed all he wants. He might think the coach was out to get him. Apparently that's what it feels like, that, you know, he's blaming Tibbs for this whole thing and Tibbs didn't want him around. They traded him for a star in many ways. You know, some people think less of a star than others think, but they traded him for a big time player, and the big move that they're hoping puts them over the top as an NBA championship contender. I mean, I really don't feel like the karma is that off with the Knicks right now. Certainly not for DiVincenzo.
Talk New York sports on The Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 428. Vic Mongo here with you on The Fan. You know, I actually heard I forget where I heard it, but someone was talking about memorabilia again. Like, every once in a while, the memorabilia stuff pops up, and I don't understand it. And this latest one, I don't understand at all. So, as everyone knows, Shohei Ohtani, who, in my opinion, is the greatest player who ever played, when he pitches, at least. Even on a year where he wasn't pitching and was rehabbing his elbow, managed to hit 50-plus home runs and steal 50-plus bases. No one has ever done that in history of baseball. But I still don't understand something. The 50th home run ball. So, again, it's a home run that gave him 50 home runs, which we have seen a bunch of times. That is not new. That is not a record. That is not... It's the 50th home run of Shohei Ohtani's season to go along with 50 stolen bases. That home run ball just sold on auction for $4.3 million. Why is that ball valuable? Like, I really don't understand it. If you could get the ball and the base and put them together, maybe. But is 50-50 really that big a deal? And the home run by itself is just the 50th home run. Judge has done it twice in the last 3 years. It's really not that big a deal. I don't understand why that ball sold for $4.3 million. I have no idea. Unless someone is just, has endless amounts of money and doesn't care about $4 million and just is in love with Ohtani, I suppose. But that ball carries, to me, almost no real significance at all. I don't know why it's worth that much money. These things puzzle me. The Judge home run, it broke a record. I get it. The Barry Bonds home run, whether you want to blow it up or whatever you want to do with it, I get it. Broke a record. And it's one of the few things where the fan gets the piece of memorabilia because he's in the stands. You don't typically get those kind of things in other sports. You know, when Will Chamberlain drops 100, that ball's not going into the stands. When, you know, although the Tom Brady last touchdown pass almost did go into the stands, but like those kind of, they stay in the field. The baseball goes into the stands. It's kind of cool. I get it. The 50th home run ball that is half of a, not half of a record that, you know, it's not even a record. It's just the first time it's ever been done. I mean, I guess that's a record, but it's not like he broke anything or it's this vaunted number that nobody's ever hit. Like, we didn't even think about it until they were like, you know what? No one's ever done it before. It wasn't like, oh, wait until we get the first 50-50 guy. I'll never understand it. But $4.3 million. Smoke them if you got them, I suppose. 888-808-1019. Brett in Long Island. What do you got, Brett?
Chris.
Yes,
do
sir.
Do me a favor, man.
I'd rather
take
not.
Take a night off. Yeah, you need it, man. Take one night off.
Yeah, you got it. Thanks.
You are the worst Giants fan I've ever seen. We're 2-5.
Yep.
And you were probably the kid that was on all the winning teams, spoiled your whole life.
Yeah, because I made them
never
win.
Never had adversity. I guarantee you, look at your career. I don't really know how, your sports career. We're 2-5.
My sports career.
And I'm not going to watch, you know. I know the World Series.
Well, they're going up against the World Series.
You talk about your football and how good you were and everything else. You guys probably won every year. Probably were never down. Yeah, okay. We're 2-5 with 10 games left, and you're not going to watch. You're checked out. Always talk about next year. Always talk about tanking. It just makes me question. I wouldn't want to go to war with you. I wouldn't want you on my team, man.
I hear
you're a quitter.
I'm a quitter.
Give up and prove me wrong. Yeah, we're 2-5. I'm going to watch the game because I'm a man.
Again.
I'm not going to be a baby. It hurts. Okay. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no,
it
they
hurts.
Stink. Your guys stink.
I'm going to watch it.
Your
you're
guys
watch
stink.
The Yankees.
I'm going to watch
them.
They're in the
winning.
World
you're
Series.
Happy.
I'll watch the Giants. Not during the Yankee game. Not watching them during
the
Yankee game. Not diverting one ounce of focus against the Yankees. Nope. Not to watch Daniel Jones and his team lose again, or worse yet, win the game and have another meaningless win.
In the corner.
That's exactly what I want to do. That's exactly what I want to do as a Giant fan.
Yeah.
Go hide in the corner.
Yeah, come on.
Because that's what they do.
Support your team for once.
I support my franchise. I want what's best for the team. Watching this crap over and over again is not what's best.
Your franchise chose to do this, but now you're not supporting them. You're not even going to watch anymore. 2 years ago, we were in the playoffs. You can say what you want.
Yeah, I can say what
fan,
I want.
Man,
that's one
baby.
Odd year out
unless
of the last
you win
decade.
27 championships, you cry about it. Oh, we're not good again. So if we beat the Steelers, I'm just
what
saying
happens?
We do. It's
what happens? What happens if you beat the Steelers?
The
what happens?
Right, well, you quit.
Then you lose to the Panthers.
You go quit and not watch. Don't come back to me.
That's right. Not up against the Yankees in the World Series I'm not watching. That's right. I'm not going to bother putting on another TV.
You're one of those guys.
Yeah,
only
I'm one of those
team's
guys.
Good. That's you. Then you come
that's
back
me.
Out. Oh, wow, we're 5-5. I was wrong.
No.
Oh, wow.
No.
Your
this season's
end.
Over. If they hit 5-5, then they'll go 5-6. Like, come on. It's over, bro. It's over.
You want
Daniel Jones
take.
Is a terrible quarterback. He's holding them back in every single way. They have an offensive line that when their one offensive lineman who's good goes down, they completely fall apart. They got multiple draft picks who can't fill in. They're out there scraping the bottom of the barrel trying to find anybody who can come in and play the offensive line. They've got cornerbacks they drafted in the first round who give up on plays. You're worried about me giving up on them? They got a number one cornerback who's giving up on the field, bro. So you can say whatever you want about me. You can say whatever you want about me.
You're a quitter.
I'm a quitter. Fine, I'm a quitter. I no longer believe in them. I want them to lose to set up better draft picks. Not that they'll do anything with it. I'm sorry I've lost faith in the New York Giants. I don't know what else to tell you. I've lost faith in the New York Giants. That's their fault, not mine. I almost spilled my drink. That's their fault, not mine. You're worried about me giving up. They got cornerbacks giving up. They got top draft picks giving up. They got a top offensive line draft pick who can't see the field when they don't have a left tackle. They got a quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field, who they're paying $20-plus million to, where if they continue to play him behind this offensive line, he's going to get hurt, and we're going to have to see him again next year. I mean, I don't know what else you want. What do you want me to do? I can't have just blind enthusiasm for the team. And you know I'm going to watch the game. I'm not going to do it while the Yankees are on. And if I do, they're going to get the most minimal amount of attention I could possibly give them. It's the Yankees in the World Series. Giants are playing a meaningless game against Pittsburgh. It's ridiculous, bro. It's ridiculous. And you continue to yell for them. That's fine. I appreciate it. I hope I'm wrong. I hope they turn it around. I hope they win every game. I hope Daniel Jones throws six touchdown passes a game. I hope you get to stomp all over me in 3 weeks. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. And I'm just trying to make a point because we've had so many nights where it's like, ooh, this game and that game, and we got to watch the Jets and the Mets, and we got to watch the Giants and the Mets, and we got the Yankees on. It's like three games at once. How do you do it? How do you get all the TVs working? Blah, blah. This one's not hard. This one's not hard. The Giants would be on the secondary TV, but it doesn't matter. And yeah, I want them to lose. I'm already there. I don't believe in Daniel Jones. I don't think they should play him anymore because I'm worried about him getting hurt, especially behind this offensive line. You want to call me a quitter? You want to call me whatever you want? They've beaten me down. I'm beaten down. And I wish I was on teams that never lost. We lost. I was the best player. That's why we lost. Wasn't good enough. But, yeah. You can yell all you want at me, Brett. I get it. It's what you do. You're a man. 888-808-1019. I don't understand. I really don't understand, man. I got Yankee fans who tell me Brian Cashman's the worst. They win 90 games every year and they're in the World Series, but he's the worst. And then I got Giant fans who, like, you know, the Saquon Barkley, you know, would have saved the season, and, you know, oh, you got to have faith in your team and support in your team. I don't have any faith in my team. I need them to get another quarterback. And the best way to do that until they change the rules is to lose as many games as possible and hope that a draft pick ends up being one with it they can take a franchise quarterback with. Because I don't know what else. What are they going to do? Trade for Matthew Stafford? Pick up Sam Darnold after the Vikings trade for Matthew Stafford? Maybe pick up Kirk Cousins if the Falcons go to Penix next year? Like, what are they going to do? What are they going to do with quarterback? They're 2-5 again, man. This isn't new. It's every year this happens. Every year the season's done before Halloween. Every year. They were in the playoffs 2 years ago. Great. I get it. And they had a great game, and Daniel Jones played terrific. And then they played the Eagles. No one seems to remember that game. It's like the 1980 Olympic gold medal game. Everyone remembers beating the Russians. They forget that they had to win the gold medal game. That's like the gold medal game is very much like that Giant Eagle game. It's like it never happened. What happened that year? Oh, the Giants made the playoffs and they beat the Vikings. Don't you remember? Yeah. Then there was next week. What happened? They got their asses kicked. I mean, completely kicked. They weren't even in the game. They got embarrassed. But nobody remembers that game. Everyone remembers Brian Daboll and Daniel Jones, and he deserves the contract, and they beat Minnesota. What a great day. That next day is forgotten. Like, it never, like, poof. It's like the gold medal game. It's like Kaiser Soze. Gone. But we'll hang on that game. Great. It's one of the three times in the last 10 years they scored 30 points. He's the only quarterback to not have a touchdown pass in eight consecutive home games? Like, he's the first quarterback since, like, the year 2000. What are we talking about? They don't score points. They don't have an offense year after year. The one offensive lineman goes down. They fall apart. They're 2-5 again? But I should have blind faith. I should have blind optimism, and I'm a loser, and I'm not a man because I'm going to focus on the Yankees being in the World Series on Monday night.
Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
Ba, 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 da, da. 4:45. Taking you for another 15 minutes till 5 o'clock in the warm-up show on this Wednesday morning, and then the heat gets turned up, ladies and gentlemen. I walk out of here 5 a.m. We're looking at a Thursday show coming up at 2 a.m., and we are days away from Game 1, World Series, Dodgers, Yankees. Can't wait. Pumped. And I'm sorry I'm not more excited for the Monday Night Football game. I wish I were. I wish I were. I wish they gave me reason to be. They do not. I blame them. Rocco in Saratoga. What's up, Rocco?
How are you doing, Chris?
Good. How are you doing, buddy?
Absolutely fabulous. Game watch time with the Yankees.
Let's
the
go.
Yankees. But I'm going to miss the Giants on Monday. Sorry, Brett.
Yep.
You know, this is the World Series.
Right.
It's not a meaningless regular season game. Come on.
No, I'm with you. I'll watch the game, and I'll watch every play of the game. I just don't know if it's going to be during the Yankee game. Like, it is what it is.
Got to
focus,
Chris,
on the Yankees.
Watch it on highlights.
There you go.
The YouTube.
That's
there
right.
Aren't going to be any highlights, so, you know, you could zoom through that in, you know, 30 seconds.
There
Giant
you go.
Highlight.
Giants
you know,
highlights.
You know, here
yeah.
you are.
Exactly
one field
right.
goal. There you go. All right, Brett, relax. It's a regular season game. Just another Giant loss. And you're going to give up the World Series? Come on. Come
yeah,
on,
I
Brett.
Mean, listen,
stop
there...
drinking that.
I know.
Out there. What is...
there, thank you for the call, Rocco. There is a... You know, listen, you can watch both. It's hard. I don't love it. I got to be totally honest with you. Especially, look, I don't make any... This is Yankee Hot Stove, right? I don't make any... I don't try and hide it. I am an enormous Yankee fan. They are my number one team by far. Love the New York Yankees. It is very difficult for me. I'll be totally honest with you. It is very difficult for me to focus on other things while the Yankees are playing a World Series game. It's just, it's very difficult. I haven't seen one in 15 years. I know there's only 17 football games a season. Well, there's only one World Series every 15 years. I have no idea when they'll be back. No idea. It's going to be very hard to try and divert my attention on a Giant game. I'll be totally honest with you. I will watch it, of course. I will DVR it. I will watch it. I'll probably even have it on the TV at some level. And during commercial breaks, I'll focus on it. If there's a big play, I'll probably notice it and maybe watch it a little bit. But it's not going to be a 50-50 split. It's not going to even be close to a 50-50 split. There have been times in this run here where we've had this situation, and it's been amazing, and there's games at 5 o'clock, then 8 o'clock, both football games. Like, you know, it was a crazy time, and you were trying to consume everything. And, you know, I heard the afternoon show talking about it, and for me, this one's a little bit easier. I'm watching the Yankees in the World Series, and whatever attention that I can give to the Giants, I will, but I'm not worried about it. Chris in Staten Island, what's up, Chris?
What's up, Chris? How's it going?
What's up, buddy? How we doing?
I'm excited for Friday. I can't wait. Juan Soto had his iconic moment over the weekend.
He certainly did. And that at bat was just something else, man. That was so special to watch him. That whole thing, just watch. And when I say this, like, I mean this. It's not even just the odds of winning that he increases with the New York Yankees. It's not just how great of a player he is. I want him re-signed with the New York Yankees because I love baseball. I love watching Yankee baseball. And watching Juan Soto is by far, even more than Judge, who I will still tell you I believe to be the better overall player. I think Judge is better. But watching Juan Soto is as fun as baseball gets. His at-bats,
yeah.
Especially in that moment, you know, the battle is never more prevalent. It's never more obvious that it is a mano a mano, even in the context of a team sport. It is never more obvious that it is pitcher versus hitter in a battle of wits as well as athleticism and skill, it's never more obvious than when you watch Juan Soto in an at-bat. It's he heightens that element of it, the battle between the pitcher and the hitter. And it's freaking incredible to watch. And when he had that at-bat and fouled off tough pitch after tough pitch after tough pitch and then finally got a fastball and hit it out to send the Yankees to the World Series, I mean, it does not get better than that.
Yeah, he absolutely smoked that ball. Like you said, he battled through that at-bat. He's intense. He intimidates the pitcher. He intimidates the umpire.
Yep.
With his good eye.
That head shake, like it's half acknowledgement.
Yeah.
Like it almost means different things. On one pitch, it's an acknowledgement like that was a good pitch. That was a good pitch. Then there's another head shake where it's like, nah, I'm on you. You ain't, that's not going to work again. Like it's you can, and you can tell each one what it means. If you really watch baseball and you see the swing and what kind of swing he had, you know exactly it's the exact same head shake. It's the exact same look. But if he just barely fouled one off for the last second swing, it's like, all right, good pitch, I got you. Or if he takes a good pitch on the corner, it's like, okay, good job, I got you next time. But then if he just misses one, he gives you the look like, I'm on it, I'm on. It's crazy. It's so much fun.
And to be honest with you, I called the station when he was brought over from the Yankees because I wanted Ohtani to be signed by the Yankees. I didn't think Juan Soto would step up in New York. I thought he would crumble in the Bronx.
I stand corrected.
I was dead wrong.
Yeah, no, I think he's perfect.
You know, he played in Washington. He played in San Diego. And I was like, he's not going to do it in the Bronx,
right?
And he's done everything in the Bronx. And Hal Steinbrenner, and I hope you're listening, which you're probably not.
Don't be so sure.
I hope you're listening. You better pay that guy because he needs to be signed. He's not going to Queens. He's not going to Queens because the South Bronx and. And the right field stands is the Dominican Republic for him.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure the Mets obviously have a strong Dominican following as well here in New York. Absolutely. But, I mean, I know we were just talking about on some way. And, look, I do think Hal is going to spend the money. I do. He won't spend. He can't win a battle he can't win. You know what I'm saying? Like, he just can't. You know, if me and Brett got into a battle of wits, I'm sure Brett would try, but eventually he can't win. And Hal Steinbrenner does not have the amount of money that Cohen has. If Cohen is determined on getting Juan Soto, he will offer him the most money. I don't think that, I think that is pretty obvious. Now, we don't know if he's going to have his mind set on it. We don't know how Stearns feels about it. And I would think right now, whatever, that's the only wrinkle. Not that he wouldn't want Juan Soto. Everyone's a great player. But you got Stearns coming from Milwaukee who might believe in building a team a different way and understands that, yeah, you might have enough money to go pay Juan Soto, no doubt. Whatever it costs, you can do it. But, well, then you question me on how much I can spend on the next guy and the next guy. Maybe Stearns thinks getting, you know, Burns and Santander for less money than Juan Soto is a better way to go about building a team. And right now, the way Stearns has done business the first year and obviously the waiting game that Cohen played to get him here, I would think he would trust Stearns implicitly and do whatever he says. So we don't know if he thinks that giving $45 to $50 million a year to Juan Soto is the best way to build a team. We have no idea. We have no idea. I mean, everyone wants the player, no doubt. But Stearns might feel differently about asset allocation and money allocation for one player. I would think he probably would do it, but you don't know. And just because he's willing to offer him the most money doesn't guarantee he's going to be here. We've seen a time. I don't know why this particular free agent has been deemed to only care about the last penny. I know he's got the agent. I understand it's Scott Boras. But we have seen in the last 2 years, Judge and Trey Turner turned down more money to go where they wanted to go. Trey Turner took less money from Philadelphia to go to Philly. Judge turned down more money from San Diego to come back to the Yankees. Two times. When it's these big, high, numbers, We've seen guys go where they wanted to go. I mean, we heard that Toronto might have offered the same or more for Ohtani. We don't know that for sure, I don't believe. But he wanted to go to L.A., plain and simple. So, I don't know why we assume Juan Soto only wants the very last penny. We'll see. But all I know is he's going to be batting second on Friday night for the Yankees in the World Series. That's what I know. And I don't care at the moment where he will be next year. I do think the Yankees understand they have to do everything they can to keep him. And watching him play right now is something I desperately need in my life. And I'm glad we got it for 1 year, and I'm glad we got that one home run. And then the other question is, if the Yankees win the World Series, do you mind letting him go? It clearly lessens the blow. I've heard people say, no, if they win the World Series, if you don't bring him back and you don't chase a second, how do you live with yourself? Like, I get that, but if they made a trade for someone who then left, but he got them a World Series, it clearly eases the blow of him leaving to go anywhere. Mets, Dodgers, Toronto, who tried to get Ohtani last year, who knows? All I care about is this World Series. All I care about is the next possible 7 games. That's it. That's all I care about. And Juan Soto is going to be a huge factor. I still think it's going to be Cole, Rodon, and the bullpen are going to be the biggest factors in this series. But obviously, scoring runs and getting out to leads, like, and I'll talk about Judge. If Gleyber Torres and Soto continue to do their job in the first inning, here's my worst case scenario. My worst nightmare is Friday night. Gleyber gets a hit, Soto walks, Judge hits into a double play. That is, like, my biggest fear at the moment is that trend continuing. If that happens again, because again, four times in the first 2 rounds of the postseason, the American League playoffs, 4 separate times both of those guys got in front of Judge. And all 4 times, he didn't even have a productive out. For whatever you want to say about Judge's entire postseason, I thought he had a pretty good ALCS. He hit the big home runs. He drove in some runs. He wasn't great. I thought he was okay. The major problem I have with him is his empty at-bats with an opportunity to break the game open early. And that's what they're going to need to do against the Dodgers. They cannot squander early opportunities to give their pitching some breathing room. It can't be so tight every inning of every game. And if they have the opportunity of first and second, nobody out, and Judge coming up, they've got to score a run. They've got to score a couple runs. They've got to break the game open. Can't be getting thrown out at home. Can't be coming up empty. Can't be hitting into double plays. Can't be popping up. Can't be striking out. Judge has got to come through in that moment. But I honestly like the matchup. I think the Yankees, it's a solid matchup. They're a great team. They can obviously beat the Yankees, but I don't think the matchup's a terrible one for the New York Yankees. There's no lefties. They're going to add another lefty in Cortez to their bullpen. I think they're better in the starting pitching. I think they're just as good in the bullpen, or if not better. And while they have great hitters at the top, so do the Yankees. And the bottom of the order has done a good job for the Yankees too. I still think you'd probably give the overall lineup favor to the Dodgers, but I feel really good about where the lineup is. I feel really good about where the bullpen is. They're going to have days off to get rested up. And right now, I think Aaron Boone's done a great job, and I trust him over the manager in the other dugout. And that's where we end today. Getting ready for Friday. We'll do more of it tomorrow at 2 a.m. Thank you all for listening. Thank you for calling. Even you, Brett. That's right. Even you. Fleegs, thank you very much. Everybody, enjoy the rest of your day. The warm-up show is coming up next. Also, Yankee, I heard them talking about this Friday. Exciting. Yankee tickets all day long. Yankee tickets you can't get. You better be listening to the station all day parts, morning, midday, afternoon. Go win yourself some Yankee tickets and go see the Yankees win the damn World Series. I'll catch you again at 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. WFAN.